You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Die Empty. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on Die Empty, Unleash Your Best Work Every Day by Todd Henry. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. Your days are finite. One day, they will run out. As a friend of mine likes to say, you know, the death rate is hovering right around 100%. Many people I know spend their entire life trying to avoid this fact. They fill their lives with frantic activity, bouncing from task to task, and no matter how successful they perform in their work, as they close up shop for the day, they are left with the question, did the work I did today really matter? Others I've met are incredibly successful at, vested in, and highly compensated for their work, but over time they've grown stagnant. They sense they have something more to give, but they can't quite put their finger on why they're stuck in first gear. They have a nagging suspicion that they are capable of contributing more, maybe even being truly brilliant at something, but have no roadmap for unlocking what that contribution might be. If there is one overriding goal of this book, it is this: to bring newfound clarity and a sense of urgency to how you approach your work on a daily basis and over your lifetime. I hope to help you lock onto a focused understanding of what's really important and help you make a commitment to chase after it with gusto rather than simply settling in for the ride. End quote. That is Todd Henry from Die Empty. How would you like to die? With a calm serenity, knowing you gave your best and used your greatest gifts in greatest service to the world as you created a body of work you were proud of? Or with deep regret that you never took the risks and cultivated the discipline to show up with urgency and diligence each day to create a life of deep meaning? The answer is obvious. The challenge, of course, is closing the gap between our aspirational ideal of giving our lives all we got and our current reality that may fall a little or a lot short of that. Closing that gap and unleashing our best work every day so we can die empty is what this book is all about. It's awesome. Todd Henry is the founder and CEO of The Accidental Creative and author of a book by the same name. He helps organizations and individuals come up with and implement brilliant ideas, and his book is packed with big ideas on how we can go about doing the work we're here to do. I'm excited to share some of my favorites, so let's jump straight in. First big idea, mapping plus making plus meshing equals developer. Quote, the developer is constantly weaving together available resources and opportunities to create value. He doesn't work frantically, but instead works with urgency and diligence, making plans and then executing them, learning from his actions, and then redirecting them as needed. He recognizes that uncertainty is not an enemy, but a natural part of engaging in important and valuable work. He also knows that opportunities are valuable only if he is prepared to take advantage of them, and as such, he is constantly developing his skills that will be needed when he gets where he wants to go rather than where he is currently. If you want to die empty of regret, with a body of work you can be proud of, you must focus on becoming a developer. End quote. As Todd advises, if we want to die empty of regret with a body of work we can be proud of, I love that concept, we need to become a developer. A developer? Yep. A developer integrates the three kinds of work Todd has identified: mapping plus making plus meshing. In short, mapping equals having a clear vision of what you're up to, knowing your mission, and choosing your battles wisely. Making equals actually doing the work, with urgency and diligence, every day. Meshing equals developing your skills so you're always growing. The developer integrates all three of those. Alternatively, the driver gets the mapping plus making, but misses the meshing. While the drifter gets the making plus meshing, but misses the mapping, and the dreamer gets the mapping plus meshing, but misses the making. Of course, Todd goes into brilliant detail on each of those, and the book is essentially all about mastering the process of becoming a developer. Check it out for more. For now, let's do a quick inventory. What's your mission? Where are you headed? How's your map? Are you showing up each day with urgency plus diligence? I didn't count the number of times Todd used the phrase urgency plus diligence, but it was a lot. And are you taking the time to develop your skills and optimize your life so you're constantly growing and ready for more and more opportunities? When you're not rocking being a developer, which do you tend to be? A driver, a drifter, or a dreamer? I can see elements of each at different phases of my life. Next big idea, the slippery slope of mediocrity. Quote, mediocrity doesn't always mean underperforming. It's a sliding scale and a state of mind. It means settling in and succumbing to the stasis. Mediocrity comes from the Latin words medius, meaning middle, and ocris, meaning a rugged mountain. Literally, it means to settle halfway to the summit of a difficult mountain. It's a compromise of abilities and potential, a negotiation between the drive to excel and the biological urge to settle for the most comfortable option. End quote. That is awesome. Mediocrity equals medius, or middle, plus ocris, rugged mountain. Literally, to stop halfway to the summit of a rugged mountain. The alternative? To continue forging ahead, to move through the inevitable challenges of any climb and reach the summit. According to my Apple dictionary, the word mediocre has many synonyms. Ordinary, average, middling, middle of the road, uninspired, undistinguished, indifferent, unexceptional, unexciting, unremarkable, run-of-the-mill, pedestrian, prosaic, lackluster, forgettable, amateur, amateurish, and informal, okay, so-so, plain vanilla, fair to middling, no great shakes, not up to much, bush league. It has one antonym, excellent. Todd has a chapter dedicated to confronting the siren song of mediocrity, where he presents what he calls the seven deadly sins of mediocrity. He named plus organized them alphabetically. So we've got A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Here they are. Aimlessness plus boredom plus comfort plus delusion plus ego plus fear plus guardedness. The antidote to those deadly sins? Define your battles. Be fiercely curious. Step out of your comfort zone. Know yourself. Be confidently adaptable, find your voice, and stay connected. Those antidotes to mediocrity, or guides to excellence, are the titles for the chapters of the book, which, of course, are all about helping us reach the summit of our lives as we create great work and die empty. Let's take a look at some of my favorite ideas on how to summit our potential. Next big idea, today's the day. Quote, imagine for a moment that you will have a guest accompanying you throughout your day tomorrow. This person's task will be to follow you around from the moment you wake up until the moment you fall asleep. They will take copious notes about your schedule, how you interact with your family and friends, how you engage in your tasks and projects, and your mindset through it all. Once the day is over, this person will spend the next few days processing their observations, draw conclusions about your motivations, and compile their notes into a book about you that will stand as the definitive record of your life and work. How would you act differently tomorrow if you knew that your actions and attitude on that one day were going to be a permanent testament to your life? If you're like many people to whom I've posted this question, you would probably get up a little earlier, pay extra attention to your family and the barista at Starbucks, be fully vested in every meeting, be meticulous in every task, call up an old friend for lunch, reconcile with an alienated colleague, and generally wrap up loose ends. Next, I ask, how does your imagined behavior compare with how you are actually living your life today? End quote. Now, that's one of the best exercises I've ever read. What would your life look like on a day in which someone tracks and reports your every action and publishes that as a testament to your entire life? What time would you get up? What would you do next? How would you interact with your family and friends and colleagues and random people you encounter? What do you do now that would be part of such a day? And what would change? Let's slow down and capture some highlights. In the PDF, I've got some space to write down, here's what my ideal day would look like. Scribble, scribble, writing it down, writing it down. Press pause, think about it. What would your ideal day look like if someone was going to document every single thing that you did, and that was going to be a testament to your entire life? You got it? Awesome. Let's imagine that what we're about to do right now is being observed by someone who is writing the story of our lives. And let's remember who that someone is. It's you. What you do moment to moment matters. As Abraham Maslow said, quote, "The serious thing for each person to recognize vividly and poignantly, each for himself, is that every falling away from species virtue, every crime against one's own nature, every evil act, every one without exception, records itself in our unconscious and makes us despise ourselves." Karen Horney had a great word to describe this unconscious perceiving and remembering. She said it registers. If we do something we are ashamed of, it registers to our discredit. And if we do something honest or fine or good, it registers to our credit. The net results ultimately are either one or the other. Either we respect and accept ourselves, or we despise ourselves and feel contemptible, worthless, and unlovable. End quote. P.S. That exercise is a really cool way to gather some data to help you create a masterpiece day. I've got a video linked in the PDF so you can check out how I create a masterpiece day and some big ideas that you may want to include in your creation of masterpiece days. For now, next big idea, step, sprint, and stretch. Quote, "Growth doesn't happen by accident. It's the result of intentional effort and consistent progress. You must define how you want to grow, then establish a plan to help you get there. There are three kinds of goals that help you grow: step, sprint, and stretch. A step goal is a very short arc goal, often daily, that helps you maintain forward progress, even if it's small progress. A sprint goal is a medium arc goal, a week or 2 weeks, that causes you to go beyond yourself for a season in order to increase your capacity. And a stretch goal is a long arc goal that forces you to go far beyond your comfort zone. Each of these three types of goals nest within one another. Step goals help you accomplish your sprint goals, and sprint goals help you accomplish your stretch goals. They don't always have to coexist, but it's unwise to set the long arc goals without having accompanying short arc goals to help you get there. For example, running a marathon is a great example of a stretch goal. But I would be foolish not to set corresponding sprint and step goals to help me work my way up to 26.2 miles. The stretch goal is the objective, but step and sprint goals are the building blocks. We usually reach our end goal, but fail to consider the mechanics or the day-to-day logistics of how we will actually get to where we want to be." End quote. That's genius. And the book is packed with well-thought-out little models like this. Step plus sprint plus stretch goals. Reminds me of Gary Keller's dominoes / goal setting to now approach to goal setting in his great book, The One Thing. Check out those notes where he tells us goal setting to the now will get you there. By thinking through the filter of goal setting to the now, you set a future goal and then methodically drill down to what you should be doing right now. It can be a little like a Russian doll in that your one thing right now is nested inside your one thing today, which is nested inside your one thing this week, which is nested inside your one thing this month, etc. It's how a small thing can actually build up to a big one. You're lining up your dominoes. End quote. So what's your big picture stretch goal? What will you do over the next 1 to 2 weeks as a sprint goal in that direction? And most importantly, what's today's and tomorrow's and gonna get it done step goal you can take with urgency and diligence? Seriously, what are they? Let's pause again. I've got some space in the PDF. This is my stretch goal. All right. This is my sprint goal. Very good. And this is my step goal. Stretch, longer term, sprint 1 to 2 weeks, step today. It's a really cool idea. Highly recommend you take some time to think about your goal setting that way. Check out the note on The One Thing for more on that. Next big idea, the lag. Quote, "The lag is the gap between cause and effect. It's the season between planting a seed and reaping a harvest. It's the time when all the work you've done seems to have returned little to no visible reward, and there is little on the horizon to indicate that things are going to get better. When you're in the lag, the only thing that keeps you moving forward are A, confidence in your vision and ability to bring it to fruition, B, a willingness to say no to other things that tempt you to divert from your course, and C, daily, diligent, urgent progress, end quote. The lag, that gap between a ton of effort and the hoped for results. The developer knows this is part of the game and sticks with it, remaining confident in your vision and ability to bring to life while saying no to things that'll take you off track and showing up day in and day out with your diligent, urgent awesomeness. Let's remember that most things we want are measured in horticultural time, not clock time. Plant, tend, give it time, tend, more time, harvest, repeat. Here's to embracing the lag and taking the next step plus sprint toward our stretch goals. Next big idea, optimism versus wishful thinking. Quote, there's a vast difference between optimism and wishful thinking. One is a mindset that expects progress through effort, and the other is nothing but a bulwark against the fear of failure. Someone who is optimistic expects the best while actively working to bring it about. Wishing externalizes responsibility and hopes that everything lines up according to plan, but doesn't do anything to actively bring about the desired change. Someone who operates from a place of wishful thinking is, in essence, a closet pessimist, end quote. Love that. Reminds me of Tony Horton's great wisdom from The Big Picture. See those notes? He tells us we need functional optimism and describes it like this. So when obstacles show up, it's important to recognize the need to deal with them realistically with a plan, but one that is born from a positive mindset. I call this functional optimism, and it's a key component of achieving your big picture goals. It's not about knowing everything can work out. It's about knowing that everything will work out because you're going to do whatever you need to do to make it happen. Amen to that, Tony. Optimism needs some muscle to it, or it's just wishful thinking. Here's to the action that makes our optimism strong. Final big idea, time to summit. Quote, I hope that this book has been helpful in some way in instilling a similar level of urgency in how you think about your life. You have a finite amount of focus, time, and energy to offer the world, and it can never be reclaimed once it's spent. There's no use in wasting your time lamenting the past because you cannot change or control it. Rather, I urge you to focus on what's next. Ultimately, your life will be measured by what you gave, not what you received. Don't hold out on the rest of us. We need you to contribute. Spend your life building a body of work you will be proud of. Engage today with urgency and diligence. Plant seeds every day that will yield a harvest later. Tomorrow is only an unfulfilled wish, so live and work as if today is all you have. If you do, you will be able to lay your head down each night satisfied with your work, and in the end, you will die empty of regret, but full of satisfaction for a life well lived, end quote. Those are the final words of the book. Reminds me of Stephen Pressfield's conclusion to The War of Art. See those notes? He says, creative work is not a selfish act or a bid for attention on the part of the actor. It's a gift to the world and every being in it. Don't cheat us of your contribution. Give us what you got. Well, here's to living with a grounded, energized sense of urgency and diligence as we courageously leave the land of mediocrity and summit our highest potential, creating a body of work we're proud of while we die empty, knowing we did our best with the precious days of our lives. Die Empty, Todd Henry. If you enjoyed this, I think you'll also enjoy the notes on The Happiness of Pursuit, Getting Things Done, The War of Art, Do the Work, and Turning Pro. Now, let's take a look at some great quotes from the sidebar. These are all from Todd Henry. He tells us, this book is about cultivating the mindset and the methods you need to unleash your best work each day and to increase the odds that, at the end of your life, you will not regret how you spent your days. How much of your day do you spend doing work that you will be proud of later? That's a powerful question. Todd tells us, you cannot chase safety and count on emptying yourself of your best work. You cannot pursue greatness and comfort at the same time. Commit today to stepping outside your comfort zone and set some goals to help you get there. In short, grow. Intention and theory don't change the world. Decisive action does. You should have a set of step goals you are accomplishing today, which should be helping you accomplish a set of sprint goals over the next few weeks, which should be leading you toward a set of long-term stretch goals. And finally, Todd tells us, I know that my contribution is defined by how I choose to engage the battles I face every day, and that my legacy is nothing but a series of choices to engage in or abstain from action. There you go. Here's to dying empty. What was your favorite big idea that just jumped out at you, landed, you know it to be true, or maybe you made a distinction about your stretch or sprint or step goals? And most importantly, how are you going to make that a part of your life more starting today? What specific thing are you going to do now? Get on that. Have fun. Look forward to sharing more soon. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.